Hey, it's Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 7, Episode 4. Tim, Jeff, and Dustin Lawler. Hey, I hope you all enjoyed our conversation with Broen Lawler. He's a bro, and he's wan. He's pale. No, I'm kidding. Broen, thank you for coming on the show. We had a great time. And if you haven't had a chance to watch the video or listen to that podcast episode yet, well, what are you waiting for? Go out and do that. Watch it. It's cooler if you watch it because Dustin does a good job on these videos. A lot of cool stories. Your brother's a cool dude. How does that explain you? I don't get it.
I have no idea. I vicariously live through him. So
No.
He's like my avatar.
Well, we found out in the interview that you're the inspiration. So you're the cool older brother. And so there's something to be said about that.
You got to be a little jealous though that he broke through to the big time.
I was ready to get out, so it was like I was more feeling sorry for him to begin with because I knew what he had in store for him. Little did I know that he would never have to ride in a van across the country 6 or 7 times. He got a bus like first time out.
I'm listening to it's an old book. It came out I think in 2013, maybe a little later than that, but it's Paul Stanley's first. He's two autobiographies, and this is his first one. So I'm learning to pick up a lot more of his voice mannerisms because he read it himself. And he talks about growing up and joining a band and being in, his parents weren't supportive, and it's a real interesting read, but it makes me think of you and your brother and how tough it is to make it in that particular industry, especially today in the world of producers. It's producers who run everything. It's not not musicians, certainly not musicians, but of course, you know, Neil Young doesn't even own his catalog and a guy booted off of Spotify. So now you can't listen to Harvest Moon on Spotify because he was upset about Joe Rogan or some shit. I don't know. But that's dumb, short-sighted, of course. You know, you should have your art on every single platform. I mean, if I'm sure there's some sort of douchebag that we don't like on one of our platforms, but you know what? We don't have as many followers, but it does show you that he has waning influence in the year 2022, which is unfortunate.
Isn't he still trying to push that Neil Young Zune device or whatever that he invented?
Hey, the Microsoft Zune. Don't knock it. I was one of the few people that had one of those things.
He invented that?
He had his own kind of...
Yeah, he had a signature model, which had like his catalog put on it and like automatically on it when you got it.
I had a Zune, but I quickly got rid of it when I got an iPhone. Hey, if you like Joe Rogan, listen to Joe Rogan. If you don't like Joe Rogan, don't listen to Joe Rogan. And listen to whatever you want. You know, I thought it was funny that after Neil Young issued his proclamation, Kid Rock said, they don't start doing something about the vocal fry females on the Dirtbag Left podcasts, he was going to pull his stuff off of Spotify. You guys probably don't know what I'm talking about.
I wish you would.
You know what the Dirtbag Left is?
No.
It's these young aged millennials, maybe older Zoomers, who are Gen Z, whatever the fuck you call them, and all the girls talk like this. They hate Democrats, but they like the left. They're anyway. Who cares? Kid Rock, by the way, has a new song. It's really stupid. I couldn't make it through 30 seconds worth of it.
It sounds good if you smoke a little horse dewormer.
You got to smoke it, though. You can't take it. That's the best way to do it is to smoke it. You dry out the paste, and then you make a powder out of it, and you smoke it out of a bong. That is the best way to get all the effects and get those worms to crawl out of your butthole.
Did you watch the Will Forte Saturday Night Live?
No, I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
One of the MacGruber sketches, he said he had horse worms and he reaches into his pants and pulls out a big wad of spaghetti.
Speaking of Saturday Night Live, though, I love that podcast, Fly on the Wall. So thanks for introducing that to me, Jeff.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Everybody in the reviews is always like, shut up, Dana.
He does talk too much. He talks too much. He steps all over everybody. But it's okay. Who gives a shit? It's like you're listening to them have a conversation at dinner, and I'm sure he would command more. I would like them to get some of the older people on. I wonder if that'll happen. So they have Tina Fey, Chris Rock. The Rob Lowe one is great. Rob Lowe's great. Yeah. And what was the first one?
Conan was just on.
Conan's the latest one? Okay, that must have been the last couple of days.
Somebody that's a little more closer to Dana's contemporary as opposed to someone that grew up idolizing him might be an interesting listen.
Yeah, I'm sure like Kevin Nealon and shit will be on eventually.
Two of the greatest are gone. Three of the greatest are gone from that era. Well, Farley was late era, but you know, Jan Hooks, she passed away. And of course, Phil Hartman. But I wouldn't mind hearing Victoria Jackson. If you can get her away from a Trump rally long enough, maybe she could come on. I don't imagine that. But, you know, I was watching an old, they were talking about a sketch. And so I went and I watched the sketch and Victoria Jackson, she was hot. I forgot how hot. Remember? Do you remember?
Yeah.
This is like a long time ago. All right. Anyway, so I know it's a week later. Today is a week later, almost a week later. But the Bills did lose. They're my favorite football team. And that was a great game. I think it'll be better. It'll end up going down as being better than the Super Bowl, which is in a couple of weeks. I don't
think it was like a freaking NBA game where it's like 100 to 100 and there's a minute left.
Yeah. 13 seconds left. Yeah. And so I like my coworker, Eric, was saying, you know, the host of the radio show that I'm on said, Josh Allen won the game for the Bills. And in the last 13 seconds, the coaches fucking lost it, which is true. But in honor of the Buffalo Bills, I ended up watching Capricorn One, which I haven't seen since the early 80s on HBO. OJ wasn't a bad actor in a drama like that. And you know the premise of that film?
No.
Yeah, were they faking?
Well, they didn't set out to fake it. They get in the rocket and they're about to take off. And then somebody pulls them out of the rocket and the rocket takes off and they take them to this studio set where they explain to them that if they had gone off with the mission, they would have died after 17 days because the life support wasn't there. So anyway, they fake it. Hal Holbrook plays the mean bad guy, the bad scientist. And OJ's in it. Sam Watterson, when he was young, I mean, he's real young. And Josh Brolin, what's his dad's name?
James Brolin.
Yeah, James Brolin is the main guy. And Elliot Gould is great. You know, I think he's kind of phoning it in, sort of below him. But all in all, not a bad little film. And if you have time and you've never seen it and you like O.J. Simpson, check it out. I do follow O.J. on Twitter. Boy, if he hadn't killed those two people, he'd still be very popular. He comes across as a nice guy. He's just, into double homicide. As far as football goes, I'm rooting for the Rams and the Bengals to make it to the Super Bowl. That probably won't happen. The Rams probably will make it, but I don't think the Bengals will be able to beat Kansas City. But a lot of the guys on the Rams are from Georgia, so they went to UGA or some other schools here. So,
what do you think about what Jim Nantz said?
What did Jim Nantz say from CBS Sports?
He was mad because of the playoff rules. That the Bills never got a chance to have a possession in overtime.
I mean, on the flip side of that, the Bills could have done better.
And yeah. Holding,
you know, their defense could have, you know, showed up with a special, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, you know, at least in the playoffs.
Yeah, his point is in the playoffs, the overtime rules need to change.
Yeah, because like in baseball, if it's the 11th inning and the visiting team scores at the top of the 11th, the home team gets a chance because they're home. So I don't know. Right. Just work it out. It really pissed off a lot of people, but what are you going to do? We have a guest coming on the show today, and we're going to be talking to him. He's an Atlanta-based actor named Ben Bladen. Is that how you say it? Bladen?
Yeah, I think it's Bladen.
And he's been in Ozark. And is he on this season or is he on?
Yeah, he's on this. He was in a couple episodes or at least one critical episode of this final season of Ozark, part one.
Okay. And he's been on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, also known as Your Pretty Face, Walking Dead, Florida Girls, and just a whole bunch of stuff and a local working actor. We love having local working actors on. So come on if you like. Last week we had Josh Warren on. He came on to talk with us and it was fun. And we all want to have him back a little more often than we have, if you guys don't mind. He's funny as shit.
Yeah, he's great.
Let's see. We record this on Wednesday nights, and today's the 26th of January, which means season 2 of Resident Alien has begun. Now, has it dropped yet, or do they air it like a regular TV show?
It airs at 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi, I think.
All right, so it isn't on Peacock yet, right?
No, and it'll be weekly.
I came to it late, but I blew all through it really quick. But it's such a fun little show, and the acting is really good. Everybody's good in it, and I highly recommend it, just like these guys who got into it long before I did. But just Alan Tudyk is great. All those people are fantastic.
Did you see what I was talking about with the first episode of the Dexter New Blood?
Yeah, it was very similar. Very, very similar. You hit the nail on the head with that. You know, Dexter goes off and you're right. Except for he didn't kill somebody to get the job, Dexter.
Right, but he did kill somebody.
That is true. Now, you've watched it all. I haven't been able to get it. I think I'm going to get Showtime for a little bit because I want to watch that Ray Donovan movie.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
There was a lot of slow moments in the movie that I was like, what the hell are we wasting time with this for? There was like, they could have trimmed it down maybe 15 or 20 minutes of bullshit out of it. But overall, it was good and wrapped up the series pretty well.
I'm not really watching an awful lot. I think I already mentioned I'm listening to that Paul Stanley book about being in a band and how he got into being in a band. And I'm learning how to pick up some of those affectations like Staten Island, you know, because you can do basically a silly impression of him and, you know, really feminize it or maybe add a lot of lispiness to it. But he doesn't have a lisp. He mentions quite a bit that he was born without an ear, which he does. He mentions that a lot. But hey, I was born without a lip. And then I grew a new one on a donkey's butt. That's not true.
I thought his ear was just deformed or something, and he had plastic surgery on it.
He was born without an ear. I mean, he had the ear canal, and the cartilage was like crazy, and it clogged it up, so he couldn't hear out of it.
Oh, okay.
Before we keep going, clarification from last week, King of the Hill, I read, is not in production, but they're thinking about doing a new season. And I think we talked about it last week. They're going to age them up. So I think Bobby will be a teenager or maybe an adult.
That'd be good.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. What was he, 8 or was he 10 or something like that? When
is
he?
I don't know.
He had to be. Yeah. He had to be like 10 to 12, something like that.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, his friend had pubes and stuff. Well, then, you know, his friend, you know, Chief or John Redcorn's son. So King of the Hill aging out with the characters. So Pamela Adlon won't be doing Bobby if that's the case. Maybe he'll have a kid.
He can still do Bobby.
She could talk like this.
Nah, I mean, I'm going to have a low Bobby.
Dad. Hang on.
So what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We watch.
All right, so spoiler alert. Let's talk about a couple of shows that I know all three of us are watching. Peacemaker. Want to start off with Peacemaker? You guys all watch the most recent one?
Yeah.
I haven't finished it. I've got about 10 minutes left, but if there's anything to spoil, spoil it.
I don't think so.
It seemed like it was wrapping up.
Yeah, the last 10 minutes are him, you know, reflecting on his childhood. So there's some stuff in there that I won't tell you about. Obviously, his dad is a douchebag, but I really enjoyed that episode an awful lot. It's really, to me, the best thing DC's done. Maybe not movie-wise, but certainly television-wise. I don't watch any of the WB stuff because I'm not a kid, but I really enjoy it. And they talk about ridiculous characters like Matter Eater Man or whatever. Boy Matter Eater. So they're really breaking down who these butterfly people are. By the way, spoiler alerts. We're not really deep divers. We're not going to ruin everything. There's lots of videos out there that show you every single Easter egg. But a couple things I found. They keep showing a news report, newspaper reports about a missing gorilla from the zoo.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so there's speculation that might be Grodd.
That'd be cool. He would cost a fortune.
Yeah,
they did ground on the Flash pretty well.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
At least it won't be a guy in a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, I'm a fucking gorilla. Solomon Grundy.
He was like a Frankenstein. He was almost like, he was as big as Gorilla Grodd, but he was just like a big.
Well, he lives in a sewer. I just watched something with Solomon Grundy in it. It must be that Batman thing you told me about. The Halloween special.
Yeah, he was in the Halloween one. Yeah, he's more like one of the bad guys on Scooby Doo. Like you'd always see.
Yeah,
the opening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Looks like a Scooby Doo character. If you could find one that looks like him, you should put a side by side comparison. But he goes to his dad's. He finds out his dad's been arrested, and it's because of them. And his dad obviously did not nurture well. Always gambling away the sporting goods store and going to live in a dude ranch, chasing around Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's Robert Patrick, of course. He's one of my favorite actors. He's really, really good in this, playing the white supremacist. What's his name? White Devil, or is that
White Dragon?
White Dragon. Yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
He was a superhero, I guess, because he has a costume.
No, he was a Nazi.
No, but he has a superhero costume in that room with all the helmets.
Yeah. Can you be a superhero if you're a racist?
I don't know.
Maybe in the 50s it was a different time.
Maybe he's just more like a Q.
Yeah, maybe.
With all that stuff.
But the whole episode's good. I have no complaints. It was directed. This episode was called The Chode Less Traveled and directed by Jody Hill from, The Righteous Gemstones in Eastbound and Down and tons of other things. Speaking of The Righteous Gemstones, Baby Billy returns. Walter Goggins was on it. He did great. It was a fun. I liked seeing him back. I thought for a minute there that he was done and that that character.
Eric Roberts.
Yeah, that Eric Roberts.
He was going to take his place.
Yeah, but Baby Billy is great. And now we learn about Baby Billy is that he has a history of abandoning his family. And it looks like that happened again. But Dr. Eli is getting very fed up with his family. So and why wouldn't he, obviously? BJ got baptized. My favorite part of the whole episode was that baptism was fucking hilarious. That whole passion. But Jody Hill was the guy with the long hair. Like, I didn't know who the hell that was, but that's Jody. His name is Levi.
Yeah, he's been on there before.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was Jody Hill. He was just dancing with this stupid grin. And, we haven't really talked about it a lot, but Eric Andre is fantastic. It's a lot of fun. I mean, these in the other show we're going to talk about, those three shows to me are all I need to watch every week. Now I watch more, but they're just so well done. This whole group of people that's making stuff, James Gunn and Jody Hill and all these people, they just do such good stuff. And it's nice to be able to dive into that when I'm not, hate scrolling through Twitter and drawing mean pictures of Neil Young.
I got two big thumbs up for Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
And it got announced today. They got approved for a season 3. So
nice.
They'll have another one.
I wonder if they'll be able to fix Kelvin's thumbs.
No help for those thumbs.
You're not taking the boys to Israel with you what does he call those guys?
The muscle boys.
Yeah, the muscle boys. You're not taking them with you to Israel. Just a fantastic episode. If you haven't seen Righteous Gemstones, check it out. All right. So one more thing. I think, we have a few minutes before we get to our interview, but let's talk about Book of Boba Fett, which I saw Jeff tweeted today that it was the best episode so far, and it didn't even have Boba Fett in it. And I have to agree, it was an amazing episode. Why was it an amazing episode? Because it was an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. It was an exposition episode for season 3 of Mandalorian.
Don't think they're going to come back to it next week? Because he said he would help them out.
He said he would help them out, but he has to go find a friend first. And I think he either means he's going to go find Grogu, and that's going to be the storyline of season 3, or it means he will be back, but he's going to get Black Kirastan because they knew each other too.
Okay. Well.
Either way.
That's good. Maybe he's going to kill Gina Carano because she was at Cara Dune was at a rally for Make the Universe Great Again for Moff Gideon. But there are a lot of cool things in it. I noticed that it was basically Book of Boba Fett, The Phantom Menace. Besides the Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal's character, Din, having a lightsaber battle, which he wasn't able to wield with a bunch of dogs at the beginning, which they're just dogs. Hey, we're dogs.
They reminded me of those things from Tank Girl.
Yes.
Yeah, Ice-T, when he was done up, looked just like one of those things.
He fought a bunch of those dogs. And he got, he got away and he went to fix himself up with the armorer. He gets in a battle with a big fat Mandalorian who wants the black sword, and he wins. But then he gets, no longer a Mandalorian because he took his helmet off to, get a drink of water. So he can't be a Mandalorian anymore, but he's still a Mandalorian. He goes to Tatooine because he's going to see, what's her character's name? It's Amy Sedaris.
Yeah, I don't know what the character's name is. She's the mechanic that fixed the ship.
Yeah. Gosh,
she dated a Jawa.
Yeah, she fucked a Jawa.
They were hairy.
And fuzzy. She said they're fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
Yeah.
I like her when she was getting eaten by the Womp Rat, too.
Yeah. So she's kind of like the she has the repair shop on Tatooine, has all the funny droids working for her. And we see, what do we see her fixing for Mando?
Naboo fighter.
A Naboo fighter, perhaps the one that was used by Anakin.
Yeah, and left on Tatooine.
And left on Tatooine, that's right. Used by Anakin in The Phantom Menace. A bunch of other Easter eggs that I saw. The pipe that she gets for him, which is supposed to be some like booster for the engine. Did you see that pipe? She goes, here, this is for the engine. That's the same thing that Han holds up when they're in the trash compactor to try to keep the doors from closing.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, it's some sort of drive for the ship.
It was from one of the Pike's transport trains.
Yeah, like they stole it.
Yeah, earlier.
And we see in it that the Mandalorian's planet was destroyed by Skynet and the Terminators. Did you notice that? Terminators with the shit flying around.
With those also, if you, when they were blowing the planet up, and you had the Terminators walking through, finishing guys off, floating in the background were those droids from Empire, from Hoth, the one that comes up.
They were
floating around.
It looked really cool though when they blew it up.
Uh-huh.
It looked like that old Star Wars concept art that you used to see.
Yes.
That was like before the Star Wars even came out, they had all that concept art.
Speaking of concept art, the concept art at the end of that episode showed Darth Maul's ship landing on Tatooine. Now Darth Maul's dead, so the person flying that would likely be Emilia Clarke's character from Solo. And I can't remember her name, but she's in the gang or whatever.
Yeah, the rebel group.
Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of the rebels, when the TIE fighters intercept Din, when he's flying that flying that old Naboo ship.
When he got pulled over.
Yeah, he got pulled over and he's like, takes off because that ship is so.
Playing good cop, rookie cop, veteran cop.
Yeah, rookie cup, better cup. So all in all, again, another really cool episode. Yeah, I hope that they show him going to Grogu, because you would think that would be short, but then someone has to show him how to use a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's well that and he somehow has to find the springs that would run under the ironworks on Mandalore that's the only way he can be brought back into the fold.
That'll probably be the major thing of the next season of the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Or least part.
So, all right, guys, those are the three shows we watched.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
I have to say farewell to some people. And besides Bills fan Super Bowl dreams for another however many years, that died of Mahomesitis. We lost another big name in comedy. Louis Anderson passed away last week. He was 68 years old and he had cancer. I didn't know that he had cancer. I didn't know that he was sick. But he's a big part of the last 30, 40 years of comedy. 40 years, really, I would say. Did a lot of movie roles, a lot of TV roles, created his own stuff, did really good stand-up, and has, you know, constantly been in the public eye, whether you go way, way back to Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think would have been the first movie he was in. You know, he shows up with the Candygram, and Ferris is sick. And he also is in Coming to America. And Eddie Murphy gave him that role. I just found this out because he paid for lunch one day when Eddie and other people got up. Louis paid the tab, and then Eddie called him and said, "I'm gonna put you in a movie." It's a pretty cool story. But again, I saw Louis Anderson for the first time do stand up on one of those Rodney Dangerfield specials. So thank you again to Rodney Dangerfield. May he also rest in peace. The last thing he was really in was Baskets, right?
Yeah, the Coming to America 2 was after that, but
yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, he was in that, but But as far as he won an Emmy or got nominated for an Emmy,
he did win an Emmy for playing Christine Baskett.
Yeah. So that was a tough one. This one, I don't really get sad when, you know, I get like, oh, that's terrible. When Meatloaf died, that 74 years old, Meatloaf,
he's been ill for a while.
Yeah, he has. He's had pain, back pain, and I believe he had a bout of cancer or something like that. They said he died of COVID, but who knows what he died of. They started going after him because saying it was anti-whatever. Just let people die. Who cares? Why do you care? Why do you fucking care how he voted or any of that shit? It doesn't matter.
He put on a fucking hell of a show, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that man put every night that he did a concert, he put everything he had into it. And you don't have to like the music to at least appreciate the fact that he busted his ass. When Meatloaf died, immediately took me back to 1978. My mom and one of her friends was also, you know, a single mother, had a daughter my age, and we would go on vacations together. So we went to Wildwood, New Jersey from north central PA, which was, you know, good drive. And Wildwood was a beach town with a boardwalk. Whole way there and the whole way back on 8-track, we listened to Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. So even to this day, when I listen to Bat Out of Hell, and I still do, the parts of an 8-track tape, if you don't know, even if it was in the middle of a song, it would have to skip to the next track. I'm always waiting for that to happen when I'm listening to Bat Out of Hell. But Bat Out of Hell, great album. I never liked any of the stuff from Bat Out of Hell 2, to be honest.
It was okay.
It was good. I mean, it's Jim Steinman. It's got all that production value. It really does. The theatrics, you know, like a Broadway production. But I was in college at the time, and Jeff, you were too. But at that time, like, oh, this is stupid. But it really wasn't.
Did you go to his concert that he played at Mansfield?
No, I had to work.
Oh, man, that sucks. That was a fucking great show.
I imagine it was.
He put on a hell of a show, even though he was just in dinky old Mansfield.
Yeah. Well, who do you have with him? Did he have like the singers and the full thing?
Yeah, he had everybody.
Well, yeah, that was his big thing. Was when anybody ever asked him advice on entertainment or just being an entertainer, it was always go out there and do the best that you can do that night, no matter what. If it's for two people or 200,000, you know, you just put on your best show. And that definitely sums him up as far as his work ethic and everything.
Well, rest in peace to Meatloaf, and I don't remember his actual name.
Michael Lee Aday.
Michael Lee Aday. And then there's what was that line from?
His name was Robert
Paulson.
His name is Robert Paulson. That, of course, is from Fight Club. And then rest in peace to Peter Robbins, who is best known as the voice of Charlie Brown and all those specials that Gen Xers really love from
back the original voice of in those.
Yeah, and all the ones that we know.
Yeah, the ones that we know.
I know when I've been insulted. I know when I've been insulted. Good grief.
You think when he reached puberty, he's I think that's what happened in the Peanuts town is once you reach puberty, that's how you communicated, like a horn.
Yeah, you start talking like a sand person.
You don't have any staff picks this week?
I didn't do one. Conan on Fly on the Wall podcast was good.
Matthew Modine on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. Hear him talk about getting raped by a chimpanzee.
Wait a minute. You got fucked by a monkey. A chimpanzee.
And because of the Gilbert Gottfried podcast, I bought this book. It's called All in the Family, the Show That Changed Television, by Norman Lear, the cast and crew, as told by Jim Colucci, with a foreword by Jimmy Kimmel that you can see.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
So it's like a coffee table book?
Yeah, but it'll be an office shelf book.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Number one is The After Party on Apple TV. This is that Tiffany Haddish, Sam Richardson, Ilana Glazer, Ben Schwartz, Dave Franco, Ike Barinholtz show.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's going to be pretty funny. Like somebody gets murdered at an after party. I like Sam Richardson. I'll watch him in anything.
How do we know it's not James Franco?
Yeah.
He has a twin brother, right?
No, I think it's just a younger brother, maybe.
Yeah, he just looks almost just like him, but yeah. Like 3 or 4 years apart, maybe more. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm an idiot. That'll probably be a snooze for me.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't ran up, besides Ted Lasso, I haven't ran into an Apple Plus comedy that really strikes my fancy, so.
Yeah.
I'll give it a view, see how it is.
Next All right, one. And number two on Hulu,
uh-huh.
The limited series, Pam and Tommy.
Yeah.
About Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
That's a views for me.
Yeah,
it's abuse for me just because Jason Mantzoukas is playing the voice of Tommy Lee's penis.
What?
Yeah.
Why, you know, is there a penis?
It's covering the whole sex tape and everything.
Uh huh.
Yeah, the, oh, pay me.
Oh, fuck yeah, pay me. You remember when that video came out? And yeah. Everybody had to get a copy of it, and it was just like, oh, this is disgusting.
Yeah, I get seasick watching it.
Yeah, on a boat, the camera's moving around. Oh, baby, yeah. He sounds like a dope.
And she just kept saying, lover, 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 the whole time.
I can't wait until the 2000s and I can be friends with Julian Assange. What's next? That's a views, though.
Yeah.
That's a views for me, too. Hulu. And then the third one's Murderville on Netflix. It starts next week.
Definitely abuse.
This is that Will Arnett improv murder comedy show.
Oh, it's improv?
Only one.
He has the script, but there's like a guest star every week, and they don't have the script.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have to try and solve a murder, but improv everything.
Yeah, I'm abused that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be good.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I hope you enjoyed the abbreviated, but I think we covered an awful lot. Now let's pivot. And is he ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk to our guest. Ben Bladen. Ben, is it Bladen? That's right.
Yes.
All right.
Bladen. That's correct.
Character actor, born and raised in Florence, South Carolina, and based right here in Atlanta. You started your career doing FX creatures on television, have moved on to playing characters, creature and non-creature, ranging from the comedic to dramatic and everything in between. You've been on these major television shows. You've played Ben the Demon on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, also known as Pretty Face, various zombies on Walking Dead, Waddy in Florida Girls, and Bug Eye in Part One of the final season of Ozark on Netflix. So welcome to the show, and thank you for taking time to come on with us.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. Good to be here.
Absolutely. We support Hollywood being here in Atlanta, and we definitely support local people who work in the industry. And we'll have you guys on. Love talking to you and hearing about your successes and all the things that you've been doing. It's great.
How long have you been in the business?
I joined a haunted attraction called the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse in 2012. And the film industry was just moving into town. And I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. I had just gotten sober. I've been sober for like almost 10 years now.
Congrats.
And,
congrats.
Thank you. But I was, you know how it is when you I was a punk rock kid, drank a lot. And like, you get sober, trying to figure out what to do with your life. So I was working my way through all that, and I joined this haunted attraction to try to connect with people. I wasn't even thinking about being an actor. And then like, people would ask me, they're like, how you doing? I'm like, oh, well, I mean, physically and all that, I'm doing great, you know, no problems there, but I'm still trying to figure out what to do. And then finally they said, you know, have you ever thought about trying out to be a zombie in The Walking Dead? And I'll be honest, I didn't even know what the show was, you know, like, but I was like, no, not really. They were like, you should think about it. They're looking for people with your body type. And I really didn't consider it that much. And then they kept asking me and kept saying stuff to me. Finally, somebody tagged me in the casting call. And I was kind of like, you know what? If it'll get everybody to shut up and leave me alone, I'll do it. So I did it. And they got the casting from The Walking Dead got back to me. They said, we love your look, you know. And I went to, so that was actually the first actual TV thing I was in, was playing zombies on The Walking Dead.
This Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse, was that the thing at the hotel where you were guided through by guys with machine guns? And then,
yes.
Yeah, I went to that. It was a dude, bachelor party. We went, played some games at a bar. Then we went and did that instead of going to a strip club. And I would have to say that that was a lot more fun than going to a strip club.
Yeah, that was a great experience, a great time of my life. It was like, because they had the hotel, because it used to be like a big truck stop. It was a paintball facility at the time, but it used to be like a truck stop. And it had one side that had all the truck stop things, you know, like where people could go and buy stuff, and take showers or whatever. And then they had the hotel for the people who wanted to crash there. So when we took it over and just made it into this creepy haunted hotel thing. And then we took the other side and took the back parking lot and turned it into like a post-apocalyptic city.
It was cool. If you guys, did you guys go, Jeff or Dustin?
No, I never went.
It was
no, I heard about it.
It was creepy. It was so well done. It was very immersive. So, anyway, that was cool.
Yeah,
and you ended up being on Walking Dead like 5 or 6 times, right?
I worked on it from season 5 to season 8.
Okay.
I played about maybe 13 of the ones in front of the camera, but like. Only 10 of those were supposed to be in front of the camera, and I think the other 3 were kind of like happy accidents. They just happened to put me into good makeup, and I just happened to get on screen. But, 10 of those were where they actually brought me in to be, like, the feature zombie.
Nice.
And, so I did that for a while.
Yeah, they did that based on your look, on your body size, and everything. It's what they look for applying the zombie makeup.
I'm not exactly sure what, I mean, I kind of know what they look for. For one thing, they wanted skinny people because, you know, zombies are supposed to be like, not only were they supposed to be skinny, but they're supposed to be rotting over time. So,
right.
So they were looking for extremely skinny people, which I am. I just have the bone structure they're looking for.
Yeah. Melissa Cowan, she played the bicycle girl, the bicycle zombie. Yeah, she's from our town here, and so that was her thing. It was, if it hadn't been for her, you know, her bone structure and what they were looking for.
Right. I can't really explain it to you because I'm not a makeup artist, but I know that people like me and Melissa, we have the kind of bone structure that those kind of people really
they're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you go to the conventions and you know, appear at the, you know, like, and sign autographs and stuff?
Yeah, I have. I've been to plenty of them.
That sounds fun. You like doing it?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy doing it. I haven't done that much of it in a while because, like,
pandemic and stuff.
Yeah, pandemic for one thing, and also it's kind of like when we first started like doing The Walking Dead. You know, the conventions of The Walking Dead. It was crazy. I think there was one time in Fayetteville, I made like $900 in a day. It was insane. Wow. You know.
Yeah.
And then, but then, like, over time, it's like I was lucky to leave it like $100 or whatever.
Right.
You know, and now I'm on stuff like Ozark, and I got, you know, speaking roles. I'm a character, not a background person, but an actual character on Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell.
Yeah. And how do you make that leap? Was it because of Pretty Face, or was it, you know, you just kept plugging away?
Yeah. I kept doing background. After I left The Walking Dead, I kept doing background. That's a lot of people do, try to find my way into the industry. The guy who does makeup for Your Pretty Face is the same guy, one of the co-owners of the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse. So he was like, dude, we got to get you on there. Like, and so I kept saying, okay. And finally I saw a casting call for Your Pretty Face and I submitted for it. And then I messaged Shane Morton. He's a guy.
We've had him on our show before.
Yeah, I just submitted something for something. So here's your chance to get me on, you know. And he brought me in. And when they brought me in, it just happened to coincide with, I guess, me submitting gave him the opportunity for him to talk to them about me or whatever, because I didn't go in for what I submitted for. I submitted for what they called a tortured soul, and they just brought me in and said, okay, we're going to put you in demon makeup. And I was like, well, okay, whatever, I'm here.
Yeah, it's all who you know.
Yeah, right. But then, like, I started off there on background. Now, the thing that I've always loved about Pretty Face, and I'm sure you guys have been on set, you guys have seen the episodes, I'm sure you can agree with this, is like, that regardless, you know, there's a limited number of people on set. And that's not just because of the pandemic. It's just a small show. Yeah. And everybody on there is a character on the show, regardless of whether you're a principal or your background, a matter of whether you can say lines or not. But even if you don't say lines, you got plenty of chances to get featured doing some physical comedy. So everybody on there is basically a character on the show. There is no actual background, you know. But like, I guess they just like my physical comedy so much that we wrapped the first block of filming, but with me as background, and they came back and they emailed me the next day. I was thinking I was done. And they emailed me the next day and said, hey, if you want to come back in for one more day, we've got a line for you. And I was like, well, shit. Okay. Yeah. So I did that. And then they liked that enough that I was still basically background in the next block of filming, but then they had me do one other scene where they gave me a line. By the next season, I was a character on the show.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. They like had basically all speaking lines in six different episodes.
And you're part of one of my favorite episodes, The Party Hole.
Oh yeah, Party Hole was great. That episode was crazy because we were all like, you know, we all had a part of that. There was so much going on. It was insane.
Were there any characters on that or actors on that show that you had seen in previous television shows that you're like, wow, I get to work with this person?
You know, I'm a big science fiction geek. Fun fact about me, I'm not even really that into horror. I mean, I like it, but I'm not like horror obsessed. I just happen to look good in monster makeup. So I go for what I know, you know. But I mean, you know, I can enjoy a good horror movie, but I'm not like I said, I'm not obsessed with it. It's sci-fi is my jam.
Right.
And so I was watching the Heroes Reborn series.
Yeah, with Henry.
And Henry Zebrowski was in it. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even, like, I was working with him the whole time.
Because he wasn't painted orange.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that was him. I was like, oh, wow, he was in that, you know. He was in Heroes Reborn, but
I was going to say Heroes had such potential as something that could have lasted a long time and really could have spun off into movies and stuff. But the original run of the series, it just got so crazy and like lost with so many different stuff.
Yeah,
I liked it when they brought it back too, but I don't know why it didn't last.
Yeah, I thought it was cool when they brought it back too. I especially liked the fact that they picked up where they left off, because I noticed, like, you know, they would have the name of the chapter in the beginning of the season, and then they would tell you the name of the next chapter at the end of the season. And that was the name of the chapter of the first season of Heroes Reborn. Right. So I kind of liked the fact that, I can't remember what it was, but I just remember thinking that I liked the fact that they were trying to pick up right where they left off.
And Siler was such a badass bad guy character.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you get into Florida Girls?
I ended the last season of Pretty Face, and it was a regular character, and I was like, okay, so now I've proven that I have what it takes to be an actual actor. I did it, all these guys loved it, blah blah blah. So the question is, how do I get the casting director, the big casting directors, to see this? So I started taking acting classes at the school I go to, Drama Inc. And I took this one big acting class. And and at the end, we had like a showcase for, like, you know, for industry people and people who wanted to come see us, where we all performed a scene. And my acting teacher's agents happened to be there, and they saw my scene, and they signed me to their agency right there. So
nice.
So, well, not really right there, but they said, like, they pulled me to the side and said, we like what you saw. We're going to set up a meeting in a week. And sure enough, exactly 1 week later, they sent me an email to go to their office. And and signed me to their agent, their agency. Yeah. But so Florida Girls was one of the first auditions I got to do. And I guess they loved it. I don't know. You know, it's like I just did the audition and they kept sending me stuff to read, like different scenes to read. And so I kept going in and reading for the different scene, and I send it back to them. They send me another scene, and I'd send it back to them, and finally they said, okay, he's booked.
Now, do you do that recorded? Do you go someplace and record the scene, and then they send it, you know, an email file, or do you go in front of the producers and perform it live?
Okay. Well, the first audition I did, I actually auditioned, and it wasn't really live. It was like I went to the casting director. He had an office set up in Tyler Perry Studios.
Okay.
And but I went to the casting director, but he was taping it for the directors and the showrunners.
Okay.
So it was kind of the same thing, except I was in front of the casting director. But like, but before that, all the stuff I had to read before that, I would go to Drama Inc. Now, cool. I have a setup right over here with a backdrop against my wall and a stand where I just do it on my phone.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
Was that what led to being on like the first episode of Heels?
Yeah. It was like, okay, so we did Florida Girls, and then I got booked on something else called Zola. It's a movie about a stripper.
Oh, okay.
Named Zola. Was just like this douchebag in the strip club. I had one line, and like I went and put money in her G-strap or whatever, gave money to her, and said, has anybody told you you look just like Whoopi Goldberg? Everybody since then, the movie came out and it was a hit. Yeah. Even though I had one line, I was still getting recognition for it, you know, and it was like
Do people recognize you in public and know you for that line?
Not really. I get more recognition on social media than in public. Yeah. I have been recognized in public before. I've been recognized for The Walking Dead in public before. And I'm like, how in the hell could you possibly know?
Yeah, no doubt.
Like people are like, wow, are you really that into Whoopi Goldberg? I was like, no, man. They write the lines I say them. That's what.
Yeah.
I am a fan of Whoopi.
Right.
But anyway, like, so it is Zola and, then 2019 came, and I auditioned all year and did not book one single role. And then, I was like, okay, instead of like getting discouraged and giving up, I was like, okay, this is a test. This is testing my determination. I'm just going to keep going, see what happens. And then 2020 happened, and I booked this one thing, which I can't tell you what it was because it's not out yet.
No,
but
gotcha.
But, I booked this one is a huge show. I'm going to tell you that. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great year. Of course, we're talking about 2020. And then production got shut down. And so we just didn't do anything. 2021 happened.
What? The show you can't talk about, though, it's back on and it'll be out.
And 2021 came on and I don't know what happened. It's just like a floodgate. Opened up. I got booked on Ozark, and I got booked on Heels, and I got booked on NCIS New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
And then three other things I can't tell you about.
Now, do you have to go to New Orleans, or do they shoot that here too?
That was in New Orleans. They flew me up to New Orleans and put me in the hotel room for a week. And it was cool because I had never been to New Orleans. So
what a great story, though. You start out, you know, doing it the way you've done it, and now look at where you are. That's pretty freaking cool.
Well, you know, it's like I've been that guy. Like I said, I used to drink a lot, and I was that guy who was just going from job to job, and I work as hard as I could until I lost a job, and then I find another job, and just blah blah, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then I found this. I was like, wow, people actually like me doing this. Nobody's ever actually liked me doing anything in my life. People love me as a person. But like, they love me. I used to sing in a hardcore punk band, but as great as that was never going to pay my bills.
What was the band called?
We were called Too Far Gone.
Too Far Gone. And where did you play? In Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, just all over Atlanta. we never really got out that much.
There were a lot of great bands in the 90s and early 2000s that I would go see. 6X, 17 Years, which was kind of the same thing. Do you remember them?
I remember. So we played shows in 17 Years.
And they remember the Stein Club, which was on 10th? Places like that were a lot of fun to see bands. I miss those days. And
We were together from 1994 to 2007.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was never going to pay my bill. So it was like I found this thing that I could do, that I can make a pretty decent living off of, that people actually liked me and it was working out. So I just decided I was going to take it all the way.
Yeah, Heels ought to be coming back for season two pretty soon, right? Maybe they
can. Yeah. That. I mean, I suppose they could use me again. I mean, I was just like a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a small town. So if you see the same people over and over
again. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll see what happens.
Tell us about that, the episodes of Ozark that you're on and what your character is about. Without, you don't have to spoil it, but tell us about it.
Yeah, okay. I'm just I'm like it's just one episode, and I'm a henchman. a henchman for a drug dealer. Go figure. I greet Ruth when she comes in. You know, greet her because I'm the henchman. You know, like and then something else happens that I'm not going to tell you because it's awesome, and I'm going to do this awesome, and I don't want to like spoil it.
No spoilers because you guys haven't watched it yet. But he has a great interaction with Ruth. You're like, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, so you saw it?
Okay. Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, but like, it's just a little bit part, but like, it was still just to be on Ozark in any capacity was like great. You know,
did Jason Bateman direct the episode that you were
in? I can't remember what the guy's name was who directed it. It wasn't Jason Bateman.
He only directs a couple per season, I think.
Yeah, I saw Jason Bateman all over the set.
Yeah,
but I never got a chance to speak to him. Julia Garner, on the other hand, it was crazy because I was sitting there minding my own business, because I usually just like keep to myself until somebody speaks to me. If somebody speaks to me, I'll be more than friendly with them. But like until somebody speaks to me, I just kind of keep to myself and do my thing. And she was sitting in her chair. She pointed me and goes, "Hey," and I was like, "Hey," she's like, "You want to run lines?" It's like, "Oh, sure." So, you know,
that's awesome.
And then we started talking, and she's very, very nice girl. Very nice lady.
Not like her character at all.
Right. And I was amazed to find out that she doesn't have a Southern accent at all.
Where's she like, from?
Yeah, she's from, I don't know where she's from actually, but I mean, she obviously lives in like LA, and wow. She's
from New York.
New York. Mm-hmm. But she has the kind of accent that I would expect from somebody from Southern California. As an actor, I should have known better, but that's just how convincing her Southern accent was. I mean, she sounds like that should be her voice.
I first saw her on The Americans, and she didn't have an accent there, but she was really, really good on that show, playing a younger girl that he's trying to get secrets from. If you ever watched that series, it was, but she's a pretty good actress, man. Pull that Southern accent off. It's not easy to do if you don't have it naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I can do the Southern accent, but I was born in the South. So it's like, with Waddy, that's not my actual voice, but like, my regular voice still has like kind of a Southern draw to it. It's just not like a huge redneck accent. Yeah. But at the same time, it was like, it's really easy to turn it off. I can turn it on just like this, baby. You know, there she is. Champagne dreams.
Yep. Well, people don't realize that the Southern accent, like every other accent, you go from Virginia to Texas, and it's different in every region. Absolutely. Different in Florida, different in Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah, that's funny too, because somebody told me, they're like, you captured the essence of Barrow County, Florida, or something like that. And I was like, really? Because I was taking inspirations from like my family from South Carolina. So,
yeah.
But if it worked, hey, I'm glad they enjoyed it.
Yeah, like where Jeff and I are from, you know, people talk through their nose and they don't really enunciate a lot. So they sound like us, you know, I live in Finger Lakes area in the New York State. So as a bubble. Not easy to do.
Right. Yeah, at some point I have to take an accents class. It's all on my list. But like, well, I said, so far I've just been asked to play really Southern roles, which is fine.
Well, you have to come back when you're, when your other three projects drop, and let us know.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be like it's going to be sometime this year.
Well, please do come back and this was a lot of fun, man. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? That's that you know, not necessarily that we've talked about, like social media or anything like that.
Yeah, you can catch me on Instagram at the amazing Ben Bladen. yeah, this is supposed to be ironic. I've actually had people take offense to that. Like, like they were like, "Oh, you're not that amazing." I'm like, "Joke,
relax."
You can catch me on Twitter at the amazing Ben B, just because they don't allow as many characters in your name. Right. And I'm on Facebook as you know, character actor Ben.
All right,
you can see me there.
Ben, thank you again for coming on the show. It was nice meeting you. We'd love to have
you. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and best of luck in the future, man.
Yeah, okay, man.
Let us know when your other projects come out, too, so we can plug them.
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Thank you to Ben, our guest for tonight. Thank you all for watching. Please remember to like and subscribe. Maybe turn on that little bell so you're notified as whenever we publish a show. And of course, if you'd prefer to just listen to it in your car while you're walking or cutting the grass or masturbating, you can just go to any of your favorite, did I say masturbating? You know, don't do it then. but anyway, yeah, go to your favorite podcatcher and rate and review us, do all that stuff. It's really that simple. And you can follow us on social media. All the links and everything are below in the show notes or right on the screen in the video or in the show notes on the YouTube page that Dustin painstakingly puts together and does a very good job on. Jeff is, I have a new nickname for you. You're the Wordle Turtle.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're good at it. I don't post them, but today's, I thought I made a funny joke and you must not have liked it. So
I thought it was funny, but when I think of that word, I think more of like Sopranos style.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. Sometimes Wordle is a strange, I like it though. I like playing it. I like the fact that it's not some app you have to download and you have to pay. It's just a challenge that you do and it's pretty simple. And so far so good. I've been when I haven't forgotten to do it. I'm going to see this Tuesday night, the Alan Parsons Project. So I'll give you guys a review next week. Yeah. Dr. Joe, who's the celebrity chiropractor.
Oh, they're playing that place down in Peachtree City.
No, they're playing the Atlanta Symphony. They're playing the place where you and I saw America with Caitlin. That was my pants on the way back there.
That was like a year ago today or 2 years ago today.
2 years ago today. And we walked back from the Atlanta, whatever. It doesn't matter. I had to go behind a bush and explore. And boy, was that fun. Anyway, no sense. No sense digging in the dirt. Anyway, playing in the dirt. So I'll let you know how that goes. The Alan Parsons Project with Dr. Joe.
Nice. Cool.
So, anyway, you guys have a good week. I will talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks again to Broen Lawler. We will be plugging that on the radio show as well because I want a lot of people to listen to that and hear those great stories. And hopefully we'll have him on again in the near future.
And his album comes out this week too. So download that.
Is that called again, Dustin?
The Alien Coast. And it'll be out when this comes out. Awesome. Saturday morning.
So after you listen to this, get the Alien Coast and eat an edible and sit in your basement and enjoy music with headphones on like it's 1985.
Damn Skippy.
Smoke a little horse dewormer and you're fine.
Yeah, bro. I like to put it in a suppository form.
Oh, that's like intended use.
Mm-hmm. Like this cup. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And remember to
keep it canon.